time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, we out here. Still in quarantine. What's good with you, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. You know.
That's what's up.
Same old same. Yeah. Every day, mm-hmm. Wednesday. Shit. Mm. We here. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. Right on time for the people. You know? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh, shit, man. I hear that, man. How's your week going? How was your week? Anything happen? Different? You know.
Anything
that's how I got to discern.
Anything right. Magical happened this week?
Right.
I mean, actually a lot magical shit happened from last week's discovery, but nothing, you know what I'm saying, nothing, you know, interesting to speak on. It's just
okay.
It's just different additions based on the fact that you discovered one thing about yourself that you may have needed to work on. And and so since that, you know what I'm saying, it has helped me to move along in a whole nother kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Just move along, opening myself up to the opportunities more, opening myself up to myself more. You know what I'm saying? Being able to communicate a whole lot better because you're not turned off in certain areas. You know what I'm saying? You connected to the universal Wi-Fi.
Mm, I hear that.
So so a lot of that shit been happening. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm seeing shit that I may have thought about. Yo, I want to try to do this, and that shit just started to happen. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel more connected to it. You know, the discovery of that. You know, sometimes you could live a whole life and fill it up with things that just come along the way. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to the things that you absolutely wanted in your space. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, instead of going after the easiest, it's going after exactly what it is that you want and trying to fill your life up with the things that you really want as opposed to just things, you know?
Nah, I get it. That's dope.
So
that's real.
So those kind of discoveries, you know what I'm saying? I've been on that type shit.
Okay. That sounds good. That sounds transformational in a week. Yeah, that's some fly shit.
But that's the thing about time is that, you know, it could be a long time, it could be a short time, but once you on time, you know what I'm saying, none of that shit matters because you could get more accomplished in the blink of an eye going the right way than you can in months doing it the wrong way or doing it halfway or not being all the way fully in tune with it. You know, when you're in tune with your shit, time is time fades away, and that's how I feel. You know, so while it's only been a week, it's been a lifetime. You know what I'm saying? Because you kind of repairing and restoring 25 years that you've taken away from yourself. Nobody took you to jail, nobody took anything from you. You were here, you know what I'm saying? You were here, you were doing it. But you were doing it minus a key component, which makes a big difference. So if you get an opportunity to fix that, it rolls out a lot faster than you took away from it.
I think I see what you're saying. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You gotta know which. I was talking to somebody earlier today, and similarly, you know, they were like, "Secret to life is making the most out of your choices." You know, not stressing out over the choices, but whatever choice you make, just make the most out of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just don't just sit there and wonder. You know,
right.
So that yeah. Now that's. That's real shit. I hear you, man. Yeah. I hear you.
So just trying to go about shit wholeheartedly, you know what I'm saying? Trying to operate in line with what my soul would like. you know, as opposed to just, all right, this could work, that could work. All right, boom, 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 you know what I'm saying?
Get right. Done.
You know?
Right.
I likened it. I likened it to being in a relationship where you could spend years in a relationship and just be on the surface and never really dig in and actually know who the fuck you with. You know what I'm saying? You just spend time. Right. You just do things to fill up the time. And it ain't that you running or hiding from nothing. It's just, all right, you going day for day. You know, all right, how was your day? What'd you do today? What you doing tomorrow? What are we doing this weekend? What are we eating? Did you like it? You know what I'm saying? What you think about this show? Let's watch this show. And you could do that shit for years and never really even dig beyond that and be having a cool life. But, you know what I'm saying, when you really connect and you really tuned in, it's different.
What do you think the difference is? What do you find, and how do you approach it differently?
The big difference is that you're engaged. You are not just engaged, but you are connected to it, as opposed to just running through it, just running through the time. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like, say, me spending however many years doing industry stuff, right? You in and around, you here, you there, you going to these different places at all these different events, you meeting all these people, fancy people in these fancy places. But it's a part of you. Since a part of me wasn't really turned on, it was just doing it, and you wasn't connected to it. You wasn't really
going through the motions.
Invested in just, this is the whole. It was just a thing that I was doing for that time. That, you know, took me to these places, but I didn't fully sit down and say, you know what, this is how I'm going to connect to this whole thing. I'm just operating separate from it. Like, this is me. This is the thing. This is what we got to do. Do it. Get the fuck on. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, this is the thing. These are the people. This feels great. These are the type of people I'm connecting with. You know what I'm saying? Making the most of the relationships, making most of the time, actually enjoying some of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Sitting back, wow, this is actually cool. Taking it in. Smell the roses. Nah, you don't
being present.
That. Yeah, being present. Nah, you ain't there. You just done.
Right.
You live.
Right.
You constantly living in the future. You never living in the present or the past, for that matter. You just constantly, okay, this is the next thing that needs to happen. You working, and as that thing's going on, it doesn't even matter because your mind is already on to the next thing. And the next plane you got to get on and the next whole thing that you're going to present. So it's like living in the future but never being solid in your present.
Right, because there's such a culture to that. You know, it's like even the term mover and shaker. You know what I mean? Like, I'm making moves. I'm out here getting to it. Like, it sounds like constant motion. So it's very easy to feel like, okay, I guess if I'm not moving, I ain't doing shit. And not to say that when you're not present, you're not moving, but you, to your point, you're taking it in. Like, you're experiencing it. Because it is a lot of, to your point, you could look back on a life lived and you could have the photo evidence of the life, some videos, and even some memories, but you could feel like you really wasn't there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You're absent in your own life. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the thing that I'm trying to correct. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, you just looking like, damn, I wasn't present at all. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
if this was it, boy, you know what I'm saying? Somebody might sit back and say, man, he lived a great life. And I've been through a great life, but I could have experienced it a whole lot more. You know what I mean? And that's the correction. That's the restoration that I'm working on.
Right. Now, how does that look? Like, what's the approach to that, to be mindful or to be present? Like, how do you put that into to action, as opposed to when you were just running?
I already
running.
Flipped the switch because the switch that was off, I didn't even realize it was off. I didn't even realize it was there until, again, what we talked about last week, where you go to a certain time and space and realize what the actual missing link is. Like, oh,
right,
shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Once you add yourself back to the equation, yourself is be like, yeah, it's like he was in the cage, like, yeah, come on now, let's go, let's do it, let's, you know what I'm saying? Okay, we here now,
right,
nigga.
Right.
I missed you. You know what I'm saying? You had me locked in. Duh. You know what I'm saying? Let's go, let's go. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
It ain't much. Actually, it ain't. It's not. It's like you're not making different moves than you were already making. It's just that you're feeling them and then you're experiencing them a whole lot more. You know what I'm saying? Right. You're more in tune with your whole self, and your whole self is experiencing these things now. Before, it might have been your 75% self. You know what I'm saying? And then you leaving back your God energy, and your God energy just sitting over there like, man, I wish I could go. You know what I mean? But now
you got
your full talent and your full self engaged in your everyday moves, which make your everyday moves feel a whole lot better and a whole lot more whole, and they work easier. You know what I'm saying? The things you think about come together faster, you know, than before, because you can almost fighting against yourself because you're not really there. You just kind of, all right, I want this. I want to try to do that. And then, you know, you lose energy, you know. But when you got your whole self and you running on all cylinders, all that shit that was tough and difficult, it becomes a lot easier. And I don't know how to explain that, but shit moves a lot faster. You might think a thought and then shit, 2 minutes later, bing, bing, some shit happens and it's like, oh shit, that shit is coming together like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I was looking for a certain thing and I was like, yo, I'm going to get that. When I get my shit together, that's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Get a car. We talking about some totally different shit. You know what I'm saying? Then we get into the realm of the thing that I was looking for. And we started talking about it. And then it's like, oh, shit. I know somebody with one of those right now. And all they want for it is this. And I'm like, oh, shit. Which is half of what I have been seeing it for. So I'm like, shit. Let's just jump on that. You know? So it's just like, just like that. And it's like something that I really identify with that I feel is really me. Like, that's some shit that I would really want. Not just, I'm going to do this cause. And I think that'll be fly. It's some shit that I really feel like, yo, that'll be a great representation of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
With the resources that I have.
Yeah. Nah, that's that shit is real. I'm in the midst of that too, I think. You know, just trying to be present. You know what I mean? And I like that analogy that you put, like you free yourself.
Right.
You know, and just just assert yourself and just play them cards all the way through. Whatever it is, you know? Like and be connected to it. Don't just look at it as just some shit that gotta be done. You know? Because it's very easy to compartmentalize, like, passion into work, you know? So, nah, I dig it, man. That's good shit. Oh, man, what am I doing? My week has been kind of regular, if I think about it. I'm sure there's been some shit, but it's just been, you know, this just feels like a fucking continuum. That wasn't regular. I mean, you know, shit. I'll take regular as opposed to nothing at all.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, shit. It wasn't even in a bad regular. It's just, you know, we getting through it. You know what I mean? It's funny. Today is hip hop's birthday. I don't know. It's been declared, like, today is hip-hop's birthday based on the...
the party.
Kool Herc party. Yeah. But, you know, so hip-hop's about 40-something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, shit, today's my grandmother's birthday, and she 95.
Your grandma on the same day as hip-hop.
Hip-hop, ain't that fly? You know what I mean? Or they on the same day as my grandmother, either one.
You
know
what
I mean? She was there first, you know. But it was just, speaking of a life lived, you know, we was talking a little earlier. She was, you know... It's interesting, especially within quarantine, you know, one, I haven't seen her since at least March, you know, but like we talk quite often and I try to, you know, have longer conversations. We found ourselves having longer conversations. So it's just interesting just to kind of, you know, hear her life, you know, like when she tells me, oh, yeah, we used to do this and we were living here and then this was, you know, it's just very, it's some interesting stories because, you know, you can have your own impression of your grandmother just based on the fact that that's your grandmother. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, you know, that's like the matriarch or whatever, you know what I mean? To where you kind of, may even not project certain shit on her, but like, you know, you might not even delve into certain shit. Or I don't say you, I'll say me, you know? And then as of late, you know, like I've been kind of probing a little bit more. She's been telling me a little bit more. So it's been kind of cool just to hear some of her stories and shit, you know, telling me how she used to, you know, go to like certain clubs and you know what I mean? Like I was like, did you, cause somebody, I was talking to somebody, I was listening to Big Les be interviewed on Questlove Supreme, and she was, you know, she's a dancer, right? And she was talking about how if she could sum up who she was in a dance, it would be the Lindy Hop. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, you know, the Lindy Hop, you know, that's not of her era or our era, but that is a acrobatic ass dance. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, because it's interesting to even think about motherfuckers just flipping and getting it cracking. So I asked my grandmother, I was like, yo, did you used to Lindy Hop? She was like, yeah. I said, oh, shit. I'd have never known that. You know, just little shit. Like, just, you know, she out here Lindy Hopping in these streets at the Savoy or the Renaissance.
Right. It's funny. You know. Like, I don't have either one of my grandmas around no more. So, I don't have no real elders like that. Just, you know, since aunts and uncles. Like, when I'm talking, say, to my wife's mother and shit. And, you know what I'm saying? One day she was here in New York, and she was just running around cleaning up or doing something. And then I was trying to, you know, I was just wanted to tap in to just, you know what I'm saying, get a vibe from where she was from. So, I just looked up, like, the Billboard hits from the, like, R&B side of her era. You know what I'm saying?
Slick, yeah.
And then just, I ain't even say nothing. I just, all right, like, 1955, you know what I'm saying? What was the number one R&B hit? And then I just play it. And she's like, oh, I was such and such. And it just opened up a whole nother person, you know what I'm saying? Like, where'd you get that song? I was like, oh, it's on the YouTube. And then, you know, oh, that's great. And then I play something that's like, ah, how'd you know about that? I was
like, yeah. Right.
Because, you know, a hit, you know what I'm saying? It might be some songs that you like that aren't hits, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But a hit is omnipresent. So if it was number one on Billboard, everybody probably heard it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, or feel some type of way about it.
Right. Yeah. Or even if they ain't like the song, it still puts an exclamation point on a certain era, you know? Like,
yep.
Put a pin in it. Like, okay, yeah, that was happening. Like right. say, I never really liked Ja Rule songs, right? But if you say, you play Holla Holla, I know what the fuck was happening during that time. You know what I'm saying? You know, it was like Super Bowl in Miami. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ja Rule was fish grease hot and shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Holla
right.
Holla. You're like, man. But you remember that time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
And I assume as you get older, you won't even give a fuck that you didn't like Ja Rule. You just remember like, oh, shit, 1999, boy. You know what I'm saying?
Take you back. It's a time machine.
Yeah.
It's like the verses. That's like the verses. Every time I like, you know, certain verses, they'll play the hit that I might have fronted on back in the day. And then I'm like, you know what? Nah, I get it now. Or at least it takes me back to the time when I was fronting on it. You know what I mean? I was younger. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the fuck. But, yeah, man, that shit, that is, that, I think I'm going to try that. I think I'm going to try that. See what type of records she respond to.
Yeah.
But,
that shit's like a time machine, for real.
Yeah. So that's that. That's what's going on, today. I think we're going to have a Zoom, which is going to be interesting, because I don't know who's going to set the Zoom up for my grandmother, but we'll figure that out, and we'll do that. And, shit, that was cool. Speaking of big records, what you think of that old wet ass pussy?
It's cool. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. I like the concept. You know what I'm saying? I can't say that, you know, I feel like the song is a jam. I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's cool. You know, like I said, I enjoy the concept of it all. You know what I'm saying? It's funny because when they came out with the shit, it threw it back to when we was in college and shit. And we was young, stupid, you know what I'm saying? Kids in college just saying silly, wild shit. And SWV came out. And and my roommate, he changed the name, you know what I'm saying, from Sisters with Voices to Soaking Wet Vaginas. So that's...
Oh, that's funny. So that's the OG WAP. Yeah,
that's the OG WAP. So when I when I heard the song, I was like, damn, it threw me right back to that. And I just shook my head. Like, oh, Lord. We so stupid.
We were so ahead of the curve.
Not even ahead of the curve. Like, we was just so stupid.
Soaking Wet Vaginas. That's funny. That's hilarious. Shit. Yeah, it's a cool record. I like the fact that they took it there. You know what I mean? I appreciate the lyrics and the fact that they're going all in. The beat is alright. The beat is, you know, it's a flip. It's a flip and it's got a nice little bass to it or whatever. It's a cool record. It's a big record because it's Cardi and Meg. You know what I mean? It's a you know what I mean, statement type of thing. But yeah, it's just pretty interesting. It's not even just interesting. It's actually, I don't want to say exhausting, but it's very predictable, some of the outrage that has been bubbling from that, which is
what's the outrage, D?
Well, some of the outrage is performative and deliberate. I know that. Like, I've peeped, you know, some of these, like, right-wingers or whatever, these people that are trying to establish themselves in the national conversation or whatever, they come out, like, with a hard line against it on some morality shit and try to shame the women for making the song, you know what I mean? But at the same time, they know that this is a... epic troll, and this shit is gonna get retweeted, and hopefully it'll get responded back to by these people, blah blah blah. So those are invalid. You know what I mean? And that, honestly, that's more to what I'm saying. Then I see people that were kind of that have been around for years, for many, you know, raunchy, vulgar, whatever you want to call them, songs, explicit songs, and it's almost as if they don't remember their youth, or they're like, well, you know, like I seen CeeLo. I ain't even jump into it, but I seen CeeLo.
Come on now.
Come on, CeeLo.
CeeLo, you know what I mean? Y'all was birthed in the strip club. What are you talking about, man?
That's what I would think.
Y'all wasn't making a strip club record, but that's where they promoted your shit. You know what I'm saying? Man. But
that kind of bugged me out. That bugged me out a little bit, just as an artist.
And CeeLo, you know what I'm saying? I mean, CeeLo probably should stay out the conversation right now. You know what I'm saying?
Why's that?
Because, you know, he got the rapey allegations on him already.
You know what I'm saying?
So he probably should not even be in the conversation. And furthermore, I don't know who, I mean, if you're into vaginas, who doesn't like a wet-ass vagina? That's almost like, you know what I'm saying, a sign of, hey, I enjoy what's going on. I enjoy what we got going on here, and I'm going to show you how much I enjoy it by my response. And my response is gushy and wet. That is a, that shit is a, the ultimate sign of success. In that,
the ultimate,
in that round,
that's the ultimate, that's the round of applause. That's the feedback.
Yeah, that's the great feedback. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's like showing up. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? That's like getting mad at somebody. Like, I got a hard ass dick. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you're supposed to.
You know, so funny. Speaking of that, shout out to Chris Redd and Matt Richards, two comics. They actually made a record called Hard Ass Dick, and they put it out. They was like, nobody's asking for it, but fuck it, we putting the shit out. So, you know, of course.
I mean, of course, it's like, nigga, if you show up with a limp ass dick, that ain't nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Well, that's a statement too, I guess.
What?
You know what I mean? Like, if a limp ass dick, that means you're not into it, you know?
You're it goes back it, to what or, you're talking or, about. Or something might be wrong with your thing.
Yeah. You might need to change your diet.
Either way, that ain't the statement you want to show up with.
Nah, that's probably not. But it goes back to what we were just talking about. You got to be present. And right. That is the that's the physical evidence of presence.
I'm present.
I'm here. I'm in the building.
With you. And I like what we got going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or I could be by myself and I enjoy what I got going on by myself and still made it, you know what I'm saying, gushy.
Home cooking.
So,
yeah.
Either way, it's a celebration.
Right.
It's a round of applause.
Right. That's what I thought. But, you know, some people are contrary. Then, other than that, so that record came out. Then I think we talked about this offline. We spoke about it. I don't know if you want to recap, but I don't think we really need to get too deep into the whole 2 Chainz versus Rick Ross versus.
Okay.
But I dig the 2 Chainz record a little bit with the Piece of My Love little band sample. I thought that probably would have worked had there been like a real life homecoming season. Right. I think that could have been a hit, you know what I mean? Or at least something that resonated.
So you think it's going to resonate? I didn't hear it yet. That's something new he dropped?
Yeah, they played it in at the end of the battle. You know, they both came out. They both played new records at the end of the battle.
Right.
And it's a record he got with Wayne. Mm-hmm. And what's cool, which you would appreciate about it, what made me fuck with it off the top, and it's some shit I almost thought about. We use that as a drop. He shout out a few black colleges. He say FAMU, and then right after FAMU, he say Clark Atlanta. I was like, oh shit! You don't hear that many Clark Atlanta shouts. I was like, oh shit! So yeah. And it's a cool record.
We gotta snatch that. But see, the thing about it is, I kind of clicked off before it ended.
I know.
So I didn't catch the
end. Well, tell the people.
I could go back and watch it though.
Yeah. You kind of thought it was boring.
Well, I wouldn't have said that in public. But.
Oh, I was thinking you just said you clicked off. Well, if you want to mark this, you can
did,
cut it.
I did think it was kind of boring. I did think that that the type of music that they make, you know what I'm saying, it kind of needs, you know what I'm saying, that audience participation, or it needs that energy around it. You know what I'm saying? So since they make this music that makes the crowd energetic and makes the clubs bounce and shit like that, it's almost like as a performer they don't have to be that, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like in the verses they were both protecting their usual identity, like their cool identity. Like a lot of times in verses, you know what I'm saying, it's almost like the at-home version of the artist, you know what I'm saying? Like you get to see, okay, oh, that's Jada Kiss when he drinking. I've never seen Jada Kiss drink and act a fool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you get to see like the behind the curtain version, the green room version of your artist.
Right.
With Chainz and Rick Ross, neither one of them were able to get outside of their own persona. You know what I'm saying? And let you in on anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Having the strippers there and a bag of money and him having the girl come massage him. It was almost like, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to continue the persona version because I'm not letting these people into my, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to let loose and really take advantage of the moment that exists. Like, you know, so I thought it was a missed opportunity, especially for somebody like Rick Ross to actually establish, you know what I'm saying, his no, not dominance, but his, you know, his position in the game. You know what I'm saying? I'm Ross the boss. You know what I'm saying? Chainz, I like what you had going on all these years. I like your ascent. You know what I'm saying? I like the way you did this thing. You know what I'm saying? When I was on my biggest record, you know what I'm saying, my Blowing Money Fast record with Big Meech, Larry Hoover, we was out here killing that shit, and you came and did that show with me down in motherfucking Vegas. Nigga, I was proud of you. You know what I'm saying? I felt like Ross would have had more to say like that and kind of cement his OG-ness in the game. Mm. Like, because it always happens. Like, Snoop did it with DMX. Erica did it with Jill Scott. You know what I'm saying? Like, the OG always rises up in it and kind of takes advantage of the situation to say, hey, man, I love and appreciate what you're doing, but I'm the OG here. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Ross never established that. And then 2 Chainz kept coming with hits now. You know what I'm saying? And then 2 Chainz, it seemed like he didn't want to step out there and take that particular role either. So it just left you with just the music and really nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of the verses you get to learn a little tidbit here and a little tidbit there. That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It definitely started abruptly. You know what I mean? Like, they went straight into it. Wasn't no, you know what I mean? Like, it was DAP. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, they ain't like warm up. They didn't introduce themselves. There was no, to your point, maybe some OG graciousness. You know what I'm saying? When in a way where you kind of, to your point, like, do the twofold, establish the hierarchy, but then offer out, like, you know, just a, like, a, you know what I mean? Like, I see you. You know what I'm saying? I recognize you as somebody that's great in this game as well. And we both great and we celebrating tonight. So let's get to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, on a certain level, though, I think since both of them are still kind of really out there in the mix, you know what I mean? Moving and shaking, maybe. But, like, in the mix, that the stakes was a little higher. You know, or at least perception-wise to them, or maybe just assumption-wise to me by what I'm seeing, because I felt like a lot of it off the top was nerves. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of these cats, especially some of those that are, like, still in the fray. You know what I mean? Like, when you talk about some of these other artists, they're, for the most part, they're legacy acts. You know, even Ross is a legacy act on a certain level. He's just active still. But his jersey's pretty much in the rafters, if you ask certain people. 2 Chainz might have a season or two left to where his shit is in there. But he's going to the Hall of Fame, too.
Right.
But in this moment, you know, it might in their mind, they might not want to take no L's. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, well, so rather than make it light, because it would have been cool if it was light and fun or whatever. But I definitely felt like motherfuckers was very locked in, very concerned about establishing a tone, setting a tone or something. And then what I also noticed is, you know, after, you know, them cats hit them vices, you know what I'm saying, smoke that weed, hit that liquor, you seen shit loosen up. And then shortly thereafter, because niggas is both past 40, you start to see niggas get a little tired early. Right. You know what I mean? A little surly, a little ready to go. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was cool, man. It was cool. It was cool. It probably wasn't one of my favorites. Even though I'm a big 2 Chainz fan too, and I like Ross a lot. Ross is crazy. It was very interesting, though, because, and I think both of them, but particularly 2 Chainz, left a lot of shit on the table. There's a lot of records that he didn't play. And, you know, and he kind of, and I thought this was kind of slick. You know, I guess it goes back to persona, but he kind of been talking shit like, yo, I got another 20 for whoever else won it. And I ain't mad at that. I'm not mad at that statement.
And see, that just goes to show to me. Just that statement in itself goes to show that he felt like he was right there neck and neck with Ross. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, I go record for record with you, and I got another 20 for these other motherfuckers if they want to come. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't play it like that on the scene. You know what I'm saying? It looked like he was just more deferring to Ross.
No, I'm talking about, no, Ross said I got another 20.
Oh, Ross said
not,
that.
Not 2 Chainz. Okay. Did I say 2 Chainz said that?
You said 2 Chainz.
I thought I said Ross.
That.
Yeah, you said pardon me. Yeah. No. Okay, Ross is the one that said that. Yeah.
But
yeah,
Ross, you need to have that energy when you was there, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he might have had the energy per se. I just felt like he didn't play it real G. You know what I'm saying? He played it like he was playing with a peer. And he was, but his position in the game is not that. You know what I'm saying? His position, like, he don't really have necessarily a peer in the game And so for him to play it like, you know, to play it even, you know what I'm saying? I think that took away from the bossness of it all.
I think you don't think Ross has any peers in the game?
Not in his category.
Jeezy ain't there? You don't think Jeezy or
Jeezy never he T. didn't I. keep he didn't keep competing. Jeezy didn't. T.I. was T.I. had done moved to something else by the time Ross really came and took over a particular lane. You know what I'm saying? Jeezy and Ross was, yeah, they were neck and neck. And then I always say, you know what I'm saying, and it's just my own sidewalk opinion, you know what I'm saying? I'm not stating this as fact in no shape or way to disparage any artist in the game, because I was there when Jeezy first started. I'm a big fan of Jeezy. But I also believe that Jeezy's big mistake was when he went on tour with Jay-Z and you know, did the whole Live Nation thing. I think that tour took him out of the slot. He abandoned his slot because that tour didn't roll to where the big Jeezy fans was at. You know what I'm saying? That was a big tour. It was a big opportunity. And I could see how you would do that deal. Like, shit, hell yeah, going out with Jay? Fuck that. But Jay fans ain't necessarily convert to Jeezy fans. So then the Jeezy fans who was in the club, that was the year Ross. It was Ross, Plies,
Gucci,
Walker. Out of between those four artists, they divided up the whole Jeezy fan base that was still in the streets wanting that street shit. You know what I'm saying? And then Ross kept ascending from there. And then Jeezy came back and, you know what I'm saying, to step back into that space. But I don't think that space was all the way there for him still. It had dispersed into different places, and you still had your core Jeezy fans. It's just that they had a whole lot more options. And then Ross just kept going with it. He kept going, and then he kind of put himself in a place where that's just Ross. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like a whole lot of little Rosses or a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying, whole lot of artists that was just in that space per se. He was just kind of like the fancy, you know, over the top, you know what I'm saying, auspicious. You know what I'm saying? He was the big word king of luxury. You know what I'm saying?
Opulence.
He was the opulent rapper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Guess Khaled could come close, but Khaled ain't no rapper. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean?
Now, I hear what you're saying. Which is, to that point, I kind of wasn't mad at particularly Ross being Ross. You know what I mean? 2 Chainz is 2 Chainz. And he was a little deferential. He could have kind of, you seen it too, like how they were playing with the space.
Right.
You like, they were kind of both respectful of not taking over the room. And then like I was hearing in the interviews afterward, I guess Ross had like a bunch of people in there. 2 Chainz just had like, you know, his wife in there. You know what I'm saying?
2 Chainz said that he just had his wife and her girl and a couple other people. And Ross had like 40 people. He said that on the shit, which I thought
was said that.
And I think for real.
Well, hold on, let me finish my point. Let me just finish this last point. I think that with Ross, it's almost like Ross is like a pro wrestler. You know what I'm saying? Like, he locked all the way into the persona. You know what I mean? Like, so for him to have the woman come out and give him a massage in the middle of a Devil in a Blue Dress, that was showmanship. That was part of what you, that's the people's eyebrow. That's, you know what I mean? That's the Rock being the Rock. And I think there's certain people that they're going to all the way commit to it. As much as you want to see what's behind the curtain, it ain't the time right yet. You know what I'm saying? Right now, it's still showtime. And this ain't the home game no more. This is us at a fucking at a studio in Atlanta with strippers and, you know what I mean, a party off camera. Like, this ain't just us at the house lo-fi anymore. It's a different level. This shit is on the cover of Billboard now. Stakes are a bit higher, maybe, but the presentation is absolutely different. So, you know, but, you know, that's how I kind of saw it.
You know, but go ahead.
I felt like just optically, I felt like 2 Chainz had his foot off the gas. You know what I'm saying? He was kind of, you know, he was looking over there to see how Ross was acting, and he kind of fell back as opposed to bringing out his self. You know what I'm saying? And being himself. So he deferred a little bit in my estimations, and I think what I would have liked to see from Ross. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind the showmanship. I don't mind the persona. I think he could have kept the persona and just applied it to the occasion at hand. You know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see some of the more seasoned artists, they kind of know how to do that. Like, Snoop knew how to do, I mean, he always knew. He always could do that. You know what I'm saying?
Erica's
like, you know, I'm here. I'm with you. But you know what I'm saying? Let it be. Don't get it fucked up or confused. I'm the boss. You know what I'm saying? And kind of like, even if it was a neutral space, you know what I'm saying? It seemed like Ross would have made it his home field advantage. You know what I'm saying? Especially having a whole bunch of people there. Like, hey, man, Chainz. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad you came through. You know what I'm saying? I know you got your Patron. You know what I'm saying? But if you want it, you know what I mean? This Yak right here or this Bel Air, I got you, player. You know what I'm saying?
You he took him a fan. Big ass bag of weed. He did start off like, here you go, here's a bag of tree. I know you get, you know what I mean? So I felt like he, you know, he did it with what he could do. But go ahead.
I think that should have been his. He should have been like, you know what I'm saying? This is my house. You know what I'm saying? And welcome. Right. Welcome to the house of opulence. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like when you have that opulent flow, you feel like if Ross invites you to his crib, it's going to, everything's going to be that way. Like, he's going to host you in that manner. You know what I mean?
True. And yeah, but was that his crib?
Nah. I don't know if it was his crib. But as an entertainer, you know how to make any space your space. You know what I'm saying? Like the best of them do. You know?
Right.
And
right.
It's like, nah, this ain't my space. But hey, man. Welcome, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad to be here with you, man. You know what I mean? And we're going to do this shit for the people. Blase Skip. And, you know, I just would have liked to seen a little more personality from Ross. And I think that would have loosened up the room a lot. And he could have kept on his persona as boss and just played it all the way out.
Right. Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. You know what I'm saying? It's not a knock.
It was what it was.
Yeah, it's just some shit that I cooked up in my own head.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I was talking to a friend of mine. Shout out to Nikki P. She was saying, like, you know, I think a lot of us do this. We could project a narrative onto it based on just what we're seeing. You know what I mean? Like they were, you know, people were getting upset, like feeling like Ross was like rude to 2 Chainz. So people felt, you know, and I was like, well, I ain't see that, but you know, like that's just what you felt. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things.
I think
things,
he was uncomfortable,
man.
For real.
Absolutely, I definitely think they both was uncomfortable.
You know what I think
that 2 Chainz had less to lose. You know what I mean? Like not less to lose, but I think 2 Chainz had pretty much nothing but upside. You know what I mean? Like, and I said that last week. I think Ross, he was good, but I think what has gotten Ross to where he is the fact that he probably is uncomfortable on a certain level or maybe just super competitive. Like, I got to, like how you said, 2 Chainz might have let up off the gas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Ross let up off the gas. I don't think Ross let up off the gas. Ross kept it going, like, you know.
Yeah, but his personality was like, you know what I'm saying? It didn't project as he was in control. It projected as if he was nervous. And I think, you know what I'm saying, just from my own perspective, me projecting, it looked like Ross made 2 Chainz uncomfortable. Like, this nigga acting all weird and shit. I don't know what the fuck going on. You know,
I seen a couple moments like that. Like, you we all right? You know what I mean?
I'm
a couple
drink
we
my
I,
drink look. And smoke my reefer and shit. I don't know. This nigga hit tripping.
I felt like for the first 10 minutes of the shit, it looked like they was in 2 separate studios. They wasn't even looking at each other. They was just in their own bubbles. But you know eventually it melded.
Yeah, just for the fact of him saying, yeah, you know, Ross got a whole party in here. I just came with my wife and, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It spoke to the uncomfortable vibe that was created. But, you know, in the end, as they say, hip-hop won. We got entertainment for free.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We get to sit here and pontificate on it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It speaks to the repertoire and the catalog of each of the artists that was involved, that they were able to play song after song after song. It's like, damn. Like, 2 Chainz, man, he got a lot of fucking songs, man. We already knew Ross had a lot of songs, but you know Chainz got a lot of songs, but when you hear him back to back and back to back, it's like, oh, shit. Damn. Shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm a Chainz fan.
Right. Me too.
I was right. Yeah. I will say this, though. Production-wise, it was 2 Chainz. I mean, 2 Chainz shit is cool. It's great in the club. But some of that shit sound a little light in the ass next to some of them Ross beats. Well, them Ross beats is fucking meaty and mighty healthy.
Come on,
you know what
man.
I'm saying?
Ross is Barry White, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
Little Unlimited Orchestra type shit.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Justice League as orchestra.
Absolutely,
shit,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So that's his signature. That's why I say he has his own class of music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even though he might talk the same subject matter as a lot of other people, but the way that he does it, nobody else does it in that way. Nobody has his voice. Nobody has the range of music that he brings to his
right.
voice. You know what right. I'm saying? So, and then he'll throw in, you know what I'm saying, that club shit for you. You know what I'm saying? Big Meech, I'm Larry Hoover. But then that other shit, that Maybach music and all that
mm-hmm.
shit, it's fly.
Santorini, Greece.
It's opulent. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's put on your Versace shit and
mm-hmm.
be in the place drinking shit in a tropical location ass shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that picture he's painted, and nobody can take that picture from
right.
him. You know what I'm saying? Or put their picture next to his. But when you hear Chainz shit, it was like he got a lot of motherfucking feel good ass shit that you know that was banging in the club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was cool. I'm curious to see what the next one is. I saw an interview. Seems like, well, it could go a couple different directions. I've been seeing, hearing talks of Drake and Kanye still. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that might be, in my mind, probably the best opponent for Drake, even more so than Hove, I think,
mm-hmm.
in my mind. I would have to go back and look. Obviously, some people say Wayne, too.
Drake and Kanye got a lot of unspoken history. You know what I'm saying? That will add to the drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Which might make it not happen, though. Because I don't know if we've had much of that. We have a couple of those, and those don't typically go well. Then it was the joint I saw. I didn't see the KRS-One interview, but I guess he interviewed with Fat Joe, and you know, the Jopra show,
mm-hmm.
and he said to allegedly, I didn't see it, so he must have said to Joe, like, if he had a versus with LL, it would be unfair. He wouldn't, you know, LL wouldn't be able to, you know what I mean, something to that effect. Like LL wouldn't be able to fuck with him. And
mm-hmm.
so Daytwan had an interview with LL, and LL just started laughing at that shit.
Right.
And that would be good to see. I mean, I think LL would get him out of there. And then they talking about Rakim and Big Daddy Kane,
mm-hmm.
which I would love to see. I mean, that would be fun to see, just curious, just on some personality shit. I'm a Kane fan. I'm a Rakim fan, too. But, I'm from the school of Kane.
Right.
So that's my bias. But that would be good to see, too.
Yeah,
so.
I'm a fan of both. Like, both play a significant role in how I establish my personal character. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
First, it was Big Daddy Kane. I was the light-skinned Big Daddy Kane. And then when Rakim came, you know what I'm saying, the Rakim look took over from there, you know what I'm saying? So it was just the seriousness of Rakim that,
right.
you know, that you could carry with you when you want to get in the club. You ain't really got the proper ID, and you know what I'm saying, you're too young, you know what I'm saying? My whole thing was, hey, man, when we get up to the door, put your Rakim look on, man, okay?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Put your Rakim look on.
Oh, mature ass.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Serious up your face.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And go ahead and walk up in the strawberries, you know what I'm saying? But both of them disappointed me in the end in certain ways. You know what I'm saying? Kane went too sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Rakim, I don't think you know what I'm saying, really understood his appeal, his own appeal. Mm. So I think he linked more to one segment of his audience than how he started. And maybe how he started wasn't really him, so I don't know. I think Marley Marl had him in the pocket where he had a very national, universal sound that was like could play anywhere. And I think the more Eric B took over and the more they grew, it became more of a regionalized sound, which kind of was like, damn, Rakim, we loved you everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when the second album came, it was like, you know, you anticipated like, yo, this Eric B and Rakim. Cover was dope. You know what I'm saying? And then it was like, eh, okay. Then Microphone Fiend, oh, shit, here we go. Mahogany, oh, shit, here we go. And then, you know what I'm saying, it kind of like, eh. It's like, damn. Mm. While Paid in Full was back-to-back, front, you know what I'm saying, top to bottom, you could play that shit straight through.
Right.
And then after that, it just got more and more kind of New Yorkish, very northeastern vibes. Thing. Then he, you know, he hit you with I Want to Know What's on Your Mind, which was, you know what I'm saying, more in the universal space. I think when you took the 808s from away from Rakim's voice, it didn't feel as big as it did when you had the 808s on it.
Interesting. I'd have to go back and listen to his catalog. You know, I told you I was listening to his audio book. And I don't know if you checked it out, but it's good. And it gives you a lot of insight on his approach to it, you know what I'm saying, and who was involved and who people may have thought were more involved than they really were, you know what I'm saying? Like Rakim did a lot of the production on his shit, and I don't think he gets credited like that. He said, yo, I picked this loop, I brought this over to Marley, like all of this type of shit, like, oh, I did that, you know, or for both of them actually, because Kane too, like, I think. Since they were so ill as MCs, you know what I'm saying? And they were from such, you know, dope crews or whatever, you know what I mean? Established crews that, you know, you might have kind of, like many people kind of said, oh, I guess homie, you know, I guess these people are doing the production on that. And you just figure, okay, he's just all the rhymes and shit like that. So when you find out later on, he had a hand in both and things like that. And, you know, I think from my own experience with Rakim, again, like, he always came across a little bit more mature. Like your whole thing about when you go to the club, get your Rakim face on so you can get in.
Right.
I always looked at Rakim as the nigga that was probably never be in the club. Like Rakim, as dope as he was and as ill as he was and as, you know what I mean? He just seemed like he was serious 24/7. He gonna do the knowledge. Whereas Kane, that nigga be dancing, there's women around, this shit popping. He, you know what I mean? Like it was just a little bit more exciting, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, again, I ain't pay that much attention to his catalog like I paid attention to Kane. Yeah, Kane definitely, he went R&B on him, you know what I mean? He doing records with Barry White and Patti LaBelle, and, you know, he got his his nipples out on the cover and shit like that. So
taco
that,
meat and shit.
Yeah, that was a little too sensual for a young nigga to really, you know what I mean, want to embrace.
We wasn't that fast, man.
Yeah.
We were still 15, nigga, 16 years old.
Right. This nigga was on his grown man silk pajama shit. You know what I'm saying? He was living a different lifestyle. So I was like, I feel that, but I can't all the way relate.
You went a little bit too princy, dog.
Yeah, a little, you know. And that was back.
And you ain't have enough prince to pull it off.
Right. And that was the hardcore era, too. So shit started to really change. That shit started to look way different, you know. Right. And with Rakim, I felt like it just kind of may have faded out. I remember he had that one record with Primo later on. I was born in New York City. That shit was hard. And then, you know, he was dealing with Dre, but that never kind of manifested in his way. So it kind of felt like he was like a casualty of the game. Like the game kind of moved on a little bit.
Right.
And then if we were talking about LL and KRS-One, like, I'm a huge KRS-One fan, and I fuck with LL Heavy too. LL, I've seen, I've never seen KRS-One in concert. I heard he's a beast, but I've seen LL in concert. That nigga rocked for at least 2.5 hours. Like, it was crazy. Man, that shit was like record after record. You like, oh shit, I forgot. That nigga like Bruce Springsteen of hip hop.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, many LL concerts. You know what I'm saying? LL changed the game. And I don't even think they the same in the same category. I know they had to like the little back and forth, little beef a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Where KRS-One was coming out to everybody and shit. But I don't really even think they the same type of shit. LL, you go to LL for like hits and fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Shit, this nigga's making hits and records and shit. Right. KRS-One is rapping on your ass. KRS-One is like hip hop. Like, you know what I mean?
The teacher.
I think KRS-One could talk that shit if like Versus was a real battle. Like you had to get on the mic and be, you know what I'm saying, and do some freestyles and shit. Then he'll be a problem for a lot of niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when you talking about hits, I mean, you know, KRS-One got a little string of them now. But,
no, he got some shit. He got some shit.
LL shit go about 2-3 decades long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's bananas.
That nigga came all the way into the 2000s with his shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
that would be. I'd watch it though, but it'd be interesting. I mean, why not, right? What else is going on, man? So I was going to talk about it, but it looks like Biden picked Kamala Harris as his VP pick. What you think? Yeah, that's what the news is saying. Saying that he picked, because I wanted to talk about this whole, you know, everybody was like, he needs to pick a black woman VP candidate. You know what I mean? And I was curious as to what your thoughts were on that. And I fuck with Kamala because I like, you know, I like Kamala. I think I've said this before. I like how she was handling motherfuckers on that Senate floor. You know what I mean? Like when she, you know, she's like a fucking battle rapper out there. She know how to really, you know, say that shit. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how this pans out. But what are your thoughts? Hearing that,
listen, man, I really can't even speak to it like that because I haven't followed the shit. You know what I'm saying?
And that don't mean nothing. This is a podcast. This is a conversation.
I know, but see, you know what I'm saying? I only know the only stuff I really know about Kamala Harris is like, you know what I'm saying, her little shit, her when she was whatever fuck she was, state attorney, whatever fuck she was, attorney general, whatever, whoever was. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Her rules against, you know, marijuana and her hard stance on crime that sent a lot of people to jail type of shit. And, you know, so I don't really know much about her. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I haven't followed the shit. And I don't like Biden anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I ain't got much to say about him either. You know what I'm saying? So, so you know, I know what I got to do. I know what it boiled down to. But, you know what I'm saying? That don't mean I got to like this shit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all already said how I felt about Creepy Joe.
Right.
So
true.
It's whatever, man. You know what I'm saying? I know when it come that time, I'm going to do the right thing and do what the fuck I'm supposed to do. But I ain't not too excited. Happy about none of these motherfuckers, for real, for real.
Nah, I can dig it. I hear that. I think that sentiment is quite popular. I just hope. And I think it is, but I just hope that motherfuckers come out because your man Trump is out of control, man.
He out of control, man. I don't know, man.
He's a bug out.
They got us in a fucked up scenario.
What you mean?
I'm just saying, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. You in a rock, between a rock and a hard place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This nigga already out here. If you're black, you got to vote for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? You might be, I mean, God damn.
Right. Because it's whack because you kind of got to eat that a little bit. Like,
right.
Unless you just want to spite yourself.
You know what I'm saying? Bite your nose off to spite your face, but it's kind of like, wow, what the fuck?
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, that's the latest. I didn't really get too deep into the, I mean, I guess I got enough of this story. You saw all the looting in Chicago at the, what's the Neiman Marcus, I think, or Nordstrom's. They looted that shit. Did you see that shit?
Oh, nah. What happened?
Oh, man. So, and I, again, like, I don't, I might be fucking some of the story up. So there was a protest going on in Chicago, and I believe.
I know it was another police shooting.
Okay. It might have been, well, supposedly there was a protest going on, and at the protest, one of the protesters got shot, right?
Oh.
Allegedly got shot. Or that was the word that they had gotten shot, and I think they had gotten shot maybe with a rubber bullet or something like that, so it wasn't fatal, but it seemed like the word was like another black person killed by the cops type shit. There was, the motherfucker started riot. It went to the Gold Coast and, you know, they, you know, or whatever, Michigan Avenue, and went up in the Nordstrom's in the name of Marcus. It was like hundreds of motherfuckers looting. Like, again, like, the only reason I'm even talking about it is just for the fact that what struck me more than anything, like, I've seen looting before, you know what I'm saying? But I've never, like, this was deep dive looting. I don't think, you got to see the video right now. Whenever you got to go up some escalators, you going too far. Like, that shit, I'm thinking my loot game, I'm treating that shit like suicides. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to run over here, I'm going to run back quick, run over here, run back quick. But I guess some people's like, man, fuck it. If we're going to do this, we're going to go all out. I'm going to the third floor, to the back, because I know exactly what I want. And when you do that shit, like, I was like, damn, you really going for it. So, you know.
I mean, I'm looking at the video. They ain't even going up. There's a whole crowd of motherfuckers coming down. Like, they leisurely shopping and shit.
You know what I mean? That shit look like fucking Black Friday or something. Yeah. That shit was wild, though. But I see motherfuckers
taking their motherfucking time.
Yeah, yeah. On an escalator. That shit is wild. Anyway.
That's crazy.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah. What else, dude? What else, man? Shit, I was actually, I don't even really need to double back too much, but really the whole reason I brought up WAP was I was curious, what was the first vulgar song that you remember from
Throw
like,
the Dick?
Well, how old were you when that came out?
Like seventh grade.
Okay. So that was the one. That was the one where you were like,
yeah,
oh,
I mean,
shit.
We've heard, like, you know, you heard the Dolemite shit and the Richard Pryor. Like, that was, right. You know what I'm saying? But what Throw the Dick did was mix those songs, mix those comedy albums into the song, and they was talking nasty stuff. It resonated because you was in the skating rink when they was doing the dance. You already know the dance. And then it's like, damn, they put all this nasty shit. Like, damn, we never heard no shit like this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Drop those draws. No, that's a move something. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, just all this nasty shit. And it's like, what the fuck? And you know, you a little teenager. You just now hitting your little hormone stretch. And it's like, whoa, this is crazy. But yeah, Throw the Dick was the first time. You know what I'm saying?
And you experienced that like at the clubs, at the parties, though. It wasn't
the first time I heard the song was, you know, on at home on a record.
Okay.
Once it came out, everybody was like, yo, Two Live got a new, got the song, Throw the Dick. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit, we know it from the skate rink. So ran down to the flea market. You know what I'm saying? I need that Two Live crew, Throw the Dick. Boom, they had it. Came home, put it on. He's like, you know, you hear that 808. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, first of all, that was the first bass song. You understand? Like, that's the first one. And then, so it got the bass, then it got the cussing and the nasty shit. Like, your whole mind is blown. Like, poof. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, because it's not only these new sounds and these new things going on, it's, you know, that you don't know them, but they're your neighborhood heroes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you just seen these motherfuckers at the skating rink.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you, at the end of the song, they, you know, they shouting out all the people, all the names that you already know from the Ghetto Style DJs and shit. and they shouting out Miami. It's like, yo, this is crazy. So yeah, that was the first time, man. And
that was the first one. Yeah. So to clarify, you heard it first, like at a jam, like at the club, like you seen them live.
No, you said you were familiar with it.
Okay,
no, I was familiar with the dance. The dance was already.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? And then they just made a song around the dance.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? So the first time I heard it on a record before I heard it in the skating rink. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then that weekend, of course, you're going to be at the skating rink and it's going down. And it's like, oh, shit. Now you're hearing the shit with the big wall of speakers and motherfuckers doing the dance and losing their mind. And now every week they got to throw the dick contest. And you know what I'm saying? Right. Then JT Money from Poison Clan, he was like a throw the D boy because he was like a dancing ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? So he'll throw the D boy. It's like exciting things going on because it's like people you know are being affected. You seeing this whole shit is like a frenzy, which turned into a whole fucking genre of music.
Right. I can dig it. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the first time I heard some shit. I mean, of course, like you said, you heard the comedy records. But that was like the first like hip hop nasty record. Yeah, that was D1.
My first hip hop nasty record, I remember the shit clearly, was fucking Indian Girl by Slick Rick. Remember that shit?
Damn, Davey, I forgot about
Davey
that shit.
Davey Crockett, yeah, see, Crabs Indian going, hey, y'all, nigga, that shit was off the chain. I remember listening to that shit with the headphones in, like, blown the fuck away, like, yo, this shit is wild. Oh, man, that shit was wild. I'm looking at the lyrics trying to see, because, oh, yeah. It said, Dave, pussies ain't supposed to speak. I remember that shit. I see crabs with spears and Indian drums. Nigga, that shit. I was like, what? That blew my mind, dog. Oh, man. Shout out to Slick Rick, man. That shit was such a moment, dog. Anyway. Yeah, babe. I think that was the first one where I was like, oh, shit. Like, they cursing. Like, even just cursing, I think that might have been, it was very early. Like, oh, wow, this is fucking raw. This is, let me put the headphones in and, you know, make sure nobody coming. I remember that shit. I remember one time my homie, my man Alex and Tony, R.I.P. Tone. Well, I remember my man, they let me hold their Digital Underground sex packets tape. And like an idiot, I should have just put that shit in my pocket and walked in the crib, but I didn't. And I like, you know, because I was treating it like contraband. You know what I mean? You know when you got some shit you ain't supposed to have, you don't move smooth. So I'm moving. My mom's like, yo, what you got there? I was like, huh? what is in your hand? And I said, what is in your hand? So I give it a thing and the shit say sex packets. So what is this? She put that shit on the fucking living room stereo. And that shit, it opens up with all types of moaning and crazy shit. Man, mom's confiscated that shit. Alex had to come get his shit. It was a whack moment for your boy. Yeah, but
I grew up with a single father and shit. Like
right.
Sherry Styles on Boys in the Hood. You know what I'm saying? He was almost happy to hear you doing some wild shit, like listening to this shit. He didn't say that, you know what I'm saying? He didn't, you know what I'm saying, support it or back it up, but he definitely didn't tell you not to do it. You know what I'm saying?
He was just like,
you got to understand the difference between, you know, the record and real life, you know what I'm saying? You got to use your own context, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why you got to pay attention to life in this, you know what I mean? And understand what's real and what ain't, you know what I mean? You know, he going to give you the whole ghetto parableness of it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, to make sure you understand. And, you know, I guess back in the early, that's early hip hop days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the age that I am at that time, I'm learning a lot of these things about prose and poetry and shit in English class and shit. At the time, I'm discovering hip hop.
Right.
So, you know, when I always separated the rapper from the rap, you know what I mean? Because it's like I'm learning about fucking Ice Cube or whoever the fuck. The same time I'm learning about Shakespeare, and when I'm reading about Shakespeare, you know what I mean? I don't put him in the story. It's a story that he wrote. And it's like, okay. But I'm not picturing him as these characters. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So once I get to Cube, I understand that this nigga's writing a story because this, you know what I'm saying, this nigga ain't this crazy in real life. He writing a story.
Mm-hmm. He'd have been in jail by now. Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're talking about never should have been let out of penitentiary. Nigga, you never been. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like you was able to discern between the song and the reality of it all. And I think over time, that line got blurred away to where the rapper became the music and you really can't separate them.
Right. I think it got to the point where rappers felt like they had to do some old criminal shit just to qualify to be rappers. You know what I'm saying? Just for the source material, yeah.
Right, and it's crazy. That's where it got to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think like Schoolie D, and, you know, when he was writing what he was writing the shit, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he could have been living some of it. Obviously, he was in the environment because he was saying some old wild shit before anybody, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This nigga was all on all kind of shit. But then, you know, he wrote this story, you know what I mean? And it was funny. A lot of that shit was funny. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's drunk. He get to the house. He going in the house. His mama come to the door. And then she was like, who is that? He was like, shit, that's me, your son. She's like, not you, the girl behind you. And then he looked around and said, you know what I'm saying? It's a chick with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? A big girl with him that he done brought home from the club. But he's so drunk, he don't even remember the shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you know what I'm saying? She don't mean no harm. You know what I mean?
That's in the record. What record is this, Saturday Night?
That's a Saturday Night, I think. Yeah, okay. Saturday Night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's wild.
And then he take the girl upstairs, and you know what I'm saying? And they trying to get busy, but the mama came through wilding out. Then the girl started talking shit to the mama, and then he's like, well, you know, I can't help you there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like a wild ass Saturday Night, you know what I mean?
Right.
He was writing all kind of wild shit that wasn't, you know, it wasn't real, but it felt way more grounded. Gritty. It was gritty and grounded in a way that it hadn't been before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It paved the way for what Ice Cube now was doing, and Ice-T. Right. You know what I'm saying? Ice-T was making breakdancing music. Then PSK came out. Then he switched his shit up and made Six in the Morning.
Right.
Which is the format for Boys in the Hood and even motherfucking Gangsta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's great. Now the shit done evolved. I was, you know, like with drill, which I'm not familiar with the drill movement, you know, so many different regions to the drill movement, you know what I mean? And, back to Chicago, back to the Gold Coast, there was a rapper, I think it's FBG Duck. I know his name is Duck. There's a rapper named Duck that got shot and killed, like right in the mix, like right in on Michigan Avenue, damn near, like damn near being shot and killed on Fifth Avenue. You know what I'm saying? Like, not in the hood, but like, you know, like right in the middle of
shopping.
Yeah, all of the free, like all of the rich shit, all of the shit that they're supposedly miles and miles away, you know.
Oh, so he just got killed.
He just got killed maybe within this week, something like that. Like there was, and it was like video of him on the floor. Like, you know, it's crazy now with everybody got phones and shit. But I was, Lupe was
same
talking
place where
about,
they was looting. Was they looting or was this
basically?
Just a
No. That happened on two different occasions.
Yeah.
That happened on two different occasions. And I'm not sure if he was, like, right over there by the stores, but he was in that area, like the Gold Coast. Like, there's, you know, the Michigan area, but it is, like,
he was on Oak Street, the home of exclusive stores like Prada, Christian Louboutin. And
okay, well, shit. Yeah, basically, right there. And, you know, Lupe was talking about how the drill shit is. It's so regional, so neighborhood, like, they rapping about, you know, niggas they killed or ran up on, like, you know, like, this ain't fictional.
Nah, this ain't storytelling. Yeah. This is when you start really hollering,
recapping.
Hollering your sets and really communicating your threats and gang activity.
Right,
you know what I'm
saying? Right. Yeah.
Motherfucking Lil Reese and them and shit.
Yeah, all of that wild shit.
He's my go-to drill guy. Right. You know what I'm saying?
You always bring him up. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was the one that changed it for me. That was like, damn, these niggas here is really young and crazy.
Now, Reese was the one that was on video beating up the girl, or
was he was the one that was beating up the girl. He was the one that got shot in the neck with the AK and still lived.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? He the one, for real, when the rapper Lil JoJo rolled up on him and was, you know, calling them all out of, you know, this whatever hit Lil JoJo gang was gonna do to him and da da da. And Lil Reese walked out, he just calmly walked out in the middle of the street. Now this Lil JoJo phone shooting him. But you can hear him in the background. I'ma kill you, nigga. I'ma kill you.
Who's this, Reese saying that?
Yeah, Lil Reese. Uh-huh. I'ma kill you, nigga. Mm-hmm. I'ma kill you, nigga. Like, very calm, like, very matter of fact.
On some Jay Prince type shit.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, that's a little hard for a young nigga. He wasn't out of control. He wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Spaz.
Measured. It was measured as fuck. Like a killer.
Yeah, 48 hours later, that Lil JoJo wasn't here no more.
Wow.
Not to say that Lil Reese did it.
Right, but it set it up to where you might think.
I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be out here trying Lil Reese, you know what I'm saying?
Right. That,
yeah. My nigga, go ahead, do your thing, man.
You got it.
Do.
You got that. You know what I'm saying? That's you, baby. It's all you.
Hey, man, shit.
Hey, shit. I ain't got no problem.
Right.
You going that way? All right, I'm going to walk over this way. You stay cool.
Word up.
Oh, shit.
But
damn.
But to me, it was just the look in his eyes was different. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Than a lot of niggas. You know what I'm saying? A lot of niggas rap and they having fun.
Right.
Reese don't look like he having fun. You know what I'm saying? This nigga shit is really sullen. You know what I'm saying? This nigga is dead in the eyes. Like, you know what I'm saying? He like... Well, you know how you might go back and forth with a nigga, you in the club. Nigga, blah, blah, blah. This a nigga that you know what I'm saying? Ain't much conversation. You either gonna get it done with him or you gonna leave the shit alone, man. And you know what I'm saying? Some people got them eyes where you know. You know what I'm saying? And he ain't no big nigga. He, you know what I'm saying? He look like one of these, you know, little kids out here, but.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you been in the gang and in the gunplay for a very long time. The nigga look like he got 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah, right. He see through your ass.
You know what I'm saying? He see through all. He just, you know, you know what I'm saying? He war torn.
Right.
That's how he look. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, Chicago is a different kind of place, man. Like, they gangsters is a lot different than other gangsters in other places.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
In what way? What you think?
It's just like they, you know what I'm saying? It's a little more grimy. You know what I'm saying? It's a little more, you know what I'm saying? A little more.
Gunplay?
A little less rules to the shit. You know what I'm saying? Less understanding to the game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So sometimes, you know, you got hustlers and you got gangsters and you know what I'm saying? You got people who play the game with a little more different kind of understanding. It's like Chicago has long been known for, you know, not playing the radio, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to their gangsterisms. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's people in my family, a couple people in my family that done met their fate, you know what I'm saying, met the maker in Chicago in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? So as a little kid, you hearing about somebody, so because of daddy, you know what I'm saying, got killed, they done tied this nigga up, put the tires around him and set him on fire. You know what I'm saying? In the middle of some tires and shit. Like, God damn. You know what I'm saying?
Savagery.
So, yeah, it's like, you know what I'm saying? So, just in my mind, like, shit, these Chicago niggas is crazy. The motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's that,
it's like, they murder game shit was, you know what I'm saying, on a whole another level. It wasn't like, ride by, shoot a nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Walk I'm up shoot on
it. Yeah, it got a little more action to it than that.
Yeah,
they probably get a little more diabolical with that shit. Seem to me, that's just my own personal take, just from the stories that I've heard and the family members that I've lost. You know what I'm saying, in Chicago.
Damn. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, they got a history of mob and gangster rule forever. You know, that whole shit. Like, it seems like, you know, corruption and all of that. Like, that's just. Like, where it's an underworld everywhere else, it's an underworld, but it ain't the most underworld. Like, it's, right. You know what I mean? Yeah, I can dig it. That's some crazy shit. I never, yeah. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. But at the same time, what's so crazy, too, is such a fucking soulful black ass city, too.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's there's some beautiful shit there. You know what I mean? It's a lot of talent and a lot of culture that comes up out of that shit, too, which is, you know, it's always kind of the Venn diagram oftentimes, you know. But, yeah, man. I like to listen to some Lil Reese or at least do a YouTube search because I know the name, but I don't really know. I'm not really super familiar with. I'm not familiar with many of them drill rappers, to be totally honest with you. There's one of them things. One of them things when I saw some of them cats is cool. Some of them records is tough, but it was just you know how you. It's like TV. Sometimes you say, "Am I going to get into this show?" Nah, I'm gonna go over here and watch this. Like it wasn't. I didn't really, outside of, you know, the hits, you know what I'm saying? Chief Keef type shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't get too deep into the muck. I felt like I was a little, I think I was removed generationally, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. From a lot of that shit. But, yeah, man. Anyway. Ah, shit, man. I think it's about that time, bro. Unless you got something else on your mind.
It's about time for us to say that we run DMC and Jam Master Jay. Jam, Jam, Jam.
Oh, shit. Shout out Jam Master Jay. I was just listening to Dapper Dan's book. And, you know, he begs him up in that shit. That's a good-ass book. It's pretty good. Yeah. I almost feel guilty. I almost feel guilty to say that was a good ass book when I listened to it on audio. I always feel like I didn't truly crack it. You know what I mean? I feel like that was a good ass book, nigga. I was just sitting there listening. I wasn't even, you know what I mean? I ain't even strained my eyes.
The content is the content, and you engage.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
True indeed.
And that's why they make audio books for niggas to engage when they can't read or don't.
Right. You know where you get these niggas to read? Put this shit on Pro Tools. That shit is there. Oh, shit, man. What you got? What's the word for the people? Where you going to be at? You got anything coming? Anything they should be looking for? Or any parting words?
Ah, man. Well, party people, I just like to say that I really enjoy coming to kick it with you guys every week. It brings me a lot of joy, brings me a lot of, exercise and voicing my thoughts. And a lot of times you don't realize how important that is to have a place to voice your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I appreciate everybody who listens every week, and I especially appreciate the people who comment on the SoundCloud or who DM me on the Instagram and let us know that you're there. And that means a lot to us. And I really do appreciate it. So if you're looking for me outside of here, you can catch me on the gram at Mr. Muhammad. I'm on Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. And till then, I'll be right back next week. You already know.
I hear that, man. I echo that sentiment. Definitely appreciate y'all listening, especially if you're at this point. That means you listen all the way through. So thank you again. Shit, I'll be on the web, D-Lemon Comedy on all platforms. See if I put anything out. If I don't, I'll be here next Wednesday, so you get to hear that. And shit, until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation, we out.
Hello, hello, hello.
Conversation.